The Holy Gospel according to St. John. There was a certain man who was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, and her brother Lazarus was ill. So these sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again? And he answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going there to waken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the 12, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Mary replied, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus assured her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. And when Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. And so they followed her, because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they replied, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Judeans said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, Already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when Jesus had prayed this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus assured Martha, I am death's undoing and life in its fullness. You, surely all of you, shall not taste the sting of death. For out of you life shall spring forth, ensnaring the grave itself. Do you see how I see this? The meaning of the gospel rests on Jesus' words to Martha, which I have faithfully exposited its contemporary meaning. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not simply about life. And when I mean life, life apart from physical death. The gospel of Christ concerns the quality of life we have in God. In other words, we do not merely limit the resurrection of the body just to the body. Rather, we know that the resurrection is the power of God to undo and to release all of us from whatever kinds of death we experience in the soul, the snares of evil which we are ensnared every day, the inward gaze of sin which we constantly turn towards. Christ himself does not limit life and resurrection simply to freedom from the grave. A chapter earlier, when Jesus is speaking of himself as the good shepherd, he says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. In other words, the entire gospel rests upon a life in its fullest, holistic sense. That all that I am and all that I have, in God, with you, and within myself, is precisely what Jesus is attempting to save today. During these past 5 weeks in our Sunday forums, we have attempted to describe this fuller sense of the gospel by this way, by the very reality of the table that we stare at every single Sunday. And this is how we've defined life. We say life begins and ends at the table, with the saints before us, all of God's children gathered with us, feeding on life itself that is in Christ. And from that table, we go out and we share this meal to all according to their need. We know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is life and life in abundant. For the poor and the oppressed, for all of us who are mired in wounds, known and unknown, visible and invisible. Oscar Romero, whose ministry and life is gospel, said it best. With Christ's light, let us illuminate even the most hideous caverns of the human person, torture and jail, plunder and want, chronic illnesses, And I would add the threats of nuclear war, the oppressed, and all of us must be saved. Not with a kind of revolutionary salvation in mere human fashion, but with the holy revolution of the Son of God, who dies on the cross to cleanse God's image, the image that all of us have, which is soiled in today's humanity, a humanity so enslaved, so selfish, so sinful. But siblings, I have no other word than this to tell you. You've seen this light. You have heard this life, this light speak to you. Its very voice. You have experienced the waters of Christ's life-saving tears and have seen many Lazaruses raised from the dead. Perhaps some of you are that Lazarus. See, every time I come into this congregation, I take the opportunity to go to the parish hall. Right by the elevator, there is this bulletin board. And by the bulletin board, there are these letters. The very word, thanking you. Because you have not only walked alongside Lazarus, but you know Mary and Martha too. This morning, many of your own fellow disciples spoke about that life that is in God. A life that is richly spent in service and care, not only of one another, but of the world around us. We spoke about Christian Community Services Center and Free Wheels, Amparo and our relationship with the Central African Republic. We spoke about the Houston Food Bank. We spoke about our very meal ministry that we have here in our congregation. And I encourage you, when you leave from this place, go and look at our recording so you can understand what I mean about the life that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, a life in its fullest sense, a life that you have seen and you have heard. And that's, you have a better word to preach to this world than I do. And to that end, I want to invite a good friend of mine, Mr. Robert Rivera, of the St. James Family Life Center, to speak to you, to make that life palatable for you, the life that you have seen, and the life in which you stand today. Robert?
Good morning. I come to you with many different hats that I wear, but I've been wanting to say, my wife and I are going to be first-time grandparents soon, so we're very excited about that. I'm also the director of the St. James Family Life Center, and thank you for this invitation to speak. On April 29th, Saturday, we will host our 10th anniversary of the St. James Family Life Center. Over the last 10 years of the center, we have assisted thousands of families with food, emergency assistance cash for utility bills, rental payments. We've hosted 30 immigration forms for new arrivals with legal counsel to help families look at options. We have provided parent training in Houston ISD and Pasadena ISD to get families on the path to college and career. We have hosted events in apartment complexes to connect families to resources. And most importantly, we're very proud of the fact that we sponsor Camp Hope annually and getting our kids to get closer to their faith and to grow and mature as young adults. That's the type of work that we do day in and day out. We're most proud of your support here from Christ the King because you allow us to do those work. I'm reminded by a story, and I say this story, one, because I love the story, because I think it illustrates a point that I want to lift up. My daughter is a school teacher, And she has had a particular student, little Johnny, who was very disruptive. And so periodically she would have to call the mom and tell her, little Johnny is doing this and this, can you help me out? And she did it repeatedly. But there was this one time little Johnny was an angel. And Rebecca said, I need to call mom and tell her that little Johnny was an angel. And she calls little Johnny's home, and little Johnny, as it would be, answers the phone. And Rebecca says, this is your teacher, can I speak to your mom? Not a peep from little Johnny. He puts the phone down, runs to his mom, and in the background, Rebecca hears, mom, my teacher is calling. And the mom says, I told you a million times, I don't want that teacher calling me. I don't want you to have problems. And she said, I'm not going to talk to her. So little Johnny runs back to the phone and says, beep, at the sound of the tone, leave a message. Now, I'm not telling you that story because that's what you've done. Actually, it's the contrary. You've answered every call that we've made asking for assistance. And let me give you two examples of it. Just recently, we had a family that two children under 14 were assaulted. The mom needed to relocate to get into a new location, to get out of the environment that she was in, and she had to move. We called you to ask you to help us to put the resources together to get this family to move. And you came through and you helped us to do that. We had another family that came from El Salvador, and the child was 6 years old, had spinal bifida, and he couldn't walk and he couldn't move around. We got him enrolled in school, helped him to navigate all of that system, but he could not walk. He needed a wheelchair. We called you and you stepped up and you helped us to provide a wheelchair for that child. Now, I'm not telling you these stories because people want a handout. That is not the thing that I want you to take away from this. What's important from this story to me is that you are accompanying people in their times of struggle and the times that they need support. You were there beside them to help them overcome their challenges. And then at the same time, you're also blossoming the seeds of hope and giving them and showing them that there's opportunity. And for that, the families say thank you. We say thank you to you. It is gratefully appreciated. And we hope you'll come and join us April 29th. So you'll get the opportunity to show our recognition for you with the support that you've given us. Thank you very much.